not only the Chiefs, but around the league a little bit. We go out to the Golden Oak Lending phone line and welcome in Matt Verderam from Sports Illustrator, Illustrated NFL staff writer, also the Matt Verderam Show on Patreon. Be sure to check that out if you don't already. I'm sure you already follow him at Matt Verderam on Twitter and X. Matt, good to have you on. I want to start with the Chiefs, though, and I know a couple days ago you had sent out a tweet about it, but just the latest on some of these injuries, man. I think people get nervous when you hear back injury for an offensive lineman, knowing you already got Trey Smith dealing with a hip injury. What are you hearing on a couple of the injuries in the last couple of days for the Chiefs, including that Simmons back injury?
Yeah. Listen, I mean, I've talked to people in the building who would certainly be in the know, and the overwhelming feeling, listen, Simmons is fine. Like, literally, the wording that I got. I mean, I think it's a little bit of a, you know, more cautious approach right now. I think if this was during the season, would be a non-issue. It's more, hey, look, it's the middle of August. There's no reason to push it. But I don't sense any real concern. And then with Smith, if it goes through next week and he's not practicing, I'd have some concern. I know he went to see a specialist. They genuinely at this point are not concerned. But a hip can be a little bit of a tricky thing. He's a big body. I mean, we're not talking about some guy who's 180 pounds. He is obviously, he's 315, whatever he is. So it's at this juncture, there's no real concern. But listen, we get toward the last few days of August and one or both are not there. Then you have to say, okay, well, is there maybe a need for a reevaluation? But right now, I don't think there's any real sense of concern in the building.
And if the expectation is, and it ends up coming out that those two guys are going to miss time, or even one of those two guys, what do you think the shuffle is along the offensive line for this Chiefs team? If Simmons misses, is it Jalen Moore at left tackle, Khalil Benson at right tackle, or if Trey Smith is out, who replaces him at that right guard position?
I think if Trey Smith is out, Benson's the right guard, and Moore is the right tackle. And I think if Simmons is out, yeah, you probably do what you said. You flip more over to the left side, and then Benson's on the right side. Look, I don't think right now there's really any concern of that happening. Now, of course, it could happen during the season. I mean, mm-hmm. The guy could pull a hamstring or something. And that is a real concern with this team, is the depth of the offensive line. They don't have it. They do not have depth on their offensive line. It's a major problem. Like, I do think, if there's an area, we've talked about receiver and pass rusher all off season. If there's an area where they can use their position on the waiver wire, which is ninth, to claim a guy, claim a proven veteran who can just be a swing tackle, or maybe even, I think more importantly, quite honestly, somebody on the interior, backup guard, I think they'll do it. Because right now, look, if Simmons and Moore and Benson are healthy, and even you want to throw an Esipola, they have guys they're confident. They really like Paulie the way he played at the end of last season. But on the interior right now, your backup guard is probably your UDFA potential starting right tackle. And I don't think that they want to see Norzad, Hanson, Caliendo out there. I mean, that spells doom. So if there's a guy who they can either trade for, maybe on a late round pick swap, or pick up on the waiver wire, I think that might be a move we see the Chiefs make here in the next couple of weeks.
We're talking to Matt Verderam from Sports Illustrated here on 96.5 The Fan. We know preseason game number two tomorrow night in Tampa. Other than R. Mason Thomas, because especially now with the Jelani injury, I really want to see him play more tomorrow, yeah. or we'll see how the Chiefs handle that. Who are you most looking forward to? I mean, it's going to be the first action for Mansoor Delay, and so he's got to be pretty high up on the list too, I would imagine.
He is. For me, it's Benson. Because you're going to get a real look at a front four in the Bucs that has some talent here. I mean, Reuben Bain, who, of course, is the apple of many eyes in Kansas City over the draft process. And then you're going to get Al-Quadin Muhammad, who had 11 sacks last year from the Lions. He's the other defensive end. Vita Vey, I wouldn't expect to be playing. But, this is the Kalijah Kansas inside. And it's a good front. This is a real front. And Todd Bowles, he will bring pressure. Even in the preseason, he likes to blitz. He likes to give some different looks. This is not going to be the Rams' second stringers. This is going to be, what do you got up front? Now, the other guys, it's kind of hard to evaluate, right? I mean, Mahomes isn't going to play. I don't know if you're going to see Rice or Worthy. So then it becomes, okay, it's going to be Justin Fields and Garrett Nussmeier throwing a sour sound. It's hard to evaluate that. I don't know. Yeah, sure, you're going to look at the routes and everything else. I will say this. I think Evan Johnson's interesting in this regard. I would argue he was the best player on the field for either team on Saturday when they played the Rams. He goes out and he's really, really good again. Like, he's got to be your second string running back, right? I mean, DeMarcado barely saw action in the first game, played a little bit in the fourth quarter. I just wonder, is Johnson, does he show enough where Bieniemy and Reed get together and go, hey, man, you know what? We got to get the ball in this guy's hands, even if it's five times a game. Like, we have to try to find a way. Maybe he's a guy who can keep Walker fresh, spell him a little bit, maybe be this, you know, team's version of his Zach Charbonnet, where he's a, you know, he's a second option of Walker. We'll see. Long way to go for that to happen. But I am intrigued by the way he plays.
Yeah, Emmett Johnson looked great. My only thing has been, and it's not that I don't think he's a good runner when the football's in his hand, is you and I know that they have to trust him in pass protection as well. And so I need to see him tomorrow, or I think the Chiefs need to see him tomorrow. Can he handle a blitz pickup or two? If he starts doing that, then absolutely.
We're going to find out with Todd Bowles.
Yeah, which is good.
They're blitzing. Like, they're going to do, I mean, and you know, just listen, for people out there listening, coaches will talk about this stuff in preseason games. You know, Andy and Todd Bowles will get together for a game. Hey, you know, wouldn't be the worst if we saw a blitz pack. Could you give us a twist? Could you give us a stunt? Could you? I mean, these guys do this stuff in preseason. You know, it's a fraternity. They know each other. A lot of them go back years. They're good friends. Like, I'm not saying that they're going to sit there and go, hey, you know, give us 20 hooks that we need. But if Andy goes up to Todd Bowles, hey, you know, listen, you're trying to figure out if this guy can give this, you know, this, that, or the other. Sometimes coaches will help each other out, too, in that regard.
As we're talking about the offense, young guys participating, you know, there's been a lot of hype during the course of training camp and even the first week of the preseason with Cyrus Allen. There was a little scare with that injury in regards to him. What are your thoughts on Cyrus Allen, how he's performed? What do you expect from him on Saturday and how he can be a productive member of this wide receiver core this year?
Well, look, I am always one of the people in media. I take everything in training camp with a pile of salt because it's just hard to evaluate. A lot of times, you know, you'll see a guy in a third team destroying people, and it's like, yeah, but he's going against a corner who's going to be selling Allstate shirts. Like, it just doesn't, like, it doesn't translate. Cyrus Allen has been cooking the daylights out of everybody they put in front of him. And the Chiefs have good corners, which is a crazy thing to say after getting rid of McDuffie and Watson, but they do. Like, the Chiefs, I think, provided Delane is good, and I think he's going to be very good, him and he and Noah Williams, that's a really good combination outside. And Cyrus Allen has just taken turns, just crushing each one of them at times in practice. I think there's a real chance that Cyrus Allen, by the end of the year, people sit there and are like, is he the best receiver on the team? And I think part of that is, I have no idea what you're getting from Rashee Rice. But part of that is also, when you watch this kid, he's not just winning against, you know, lesser talent. He's not winning because he runs a 4.2 40 and he hasn't had the route tree, but he's just outrunning guys. He is constantly wide open. And he's constantly wide open because of the way he runs routes. And I can tell you, I've talked to people over the last, you know, week, 2 weeks within the team and tried to get a gauge. What do you think? I mean, everybody sees these clips, but what do you think? I'm yet to talk to one person who doesn't think they're just over the moon about it. I mean, I know Albert Breer, my colleague, went to Chiefs camp. I did not go this year. He went out there, and there was talk about, like, look, he has a Stephon Diggs type of ability. I mean, this is a guy who was a Pro Bowler year in, year out. So I don't expect him to be Stephon Diggs this year, to be clear. But I do think there's a real world where, despite Reed's hesitancy, if you will, to play rookie receivers a lot of times, because of how good he's been and how many questions the rest of the group has, I don't know that Reed's going to be able to just sit there and wait this one out. I think this kid's going to play quite a bit, and I think he's going to be playing quite a bit pretty early.
We're talking to Matt Verderam from Sports Illustrated here on 96.5 The Fan. All right, away from the Chiefs a little bit, just across the NFL, staying in the West, we saw another preseason game last night from Fernando Mendoza. Yes, he had the pick six. Yes, he thanked Joe Buck. What's the status, do you think, of when he could actually be a starter for the Raiders? I keep looking at their schedule, and I feel like they would start him at home, given the fact that he was the number one overall pick. And that Chiefs-Raiders game in week 4 or 5 is standing out to me.
I don't know if they'll do it that early. Look, if you're the Raiders, So the thing about these moves, right, from the veteran to the rookie, is once you do it, you better be right.
Sure.
Not because of Kirk Cousins, right? Like, they don't care if they offend Kirk Cousins. Like, they care less. But they don't want to do what we saw in Indianapolis with Anthony Richardson, where he'd go in the game, he'd get two games, they'd yank him for Gardner Minshew. He'd go back in, he'd struggle to get, they'd yank him out, they'd put in some other veteran. Like, that stuff destroys young kids. And let's be real with the Raiders. They're going nowhere this year. That team is not good. And so, if you're Clint Kubiak, if you're the general manager, John Spisak, you're sitting there looking at this going, all right, when can we get this kid in here when it behooves not only the development of our team, but also, most importantly, his development? I think that's probably around Halloween. You know, maybe a little before the midway point of the year. Like, the Chiefs game's interesting because it is a home game, and, you know, that's week, what, four? The downside of that is you're going to get Spagnuolo in that game, and it's going to be blitzes galore. Hey, man, good luck. Like, here's nine pressure packages you've never seen in your life. Good luck picking it up. Like, it's, I think if you're them, you probably want Cousins to take a game like that, and, hey, you know, if Cousins takes four or five sacks and throws a pick, all right, you know, whatever. Like, it, I think that for the Raiders, it's all about waiting until you know that you don't have to go back the other way.
Looking around the National Football League as we get closer and closer to the start of the year, there's been a ton of conversation about the running game, because there was a huge influx of it a season ago. Right. Is that something that you see kind of a trend that continues? Do you think league-wide we see more of a focus on the ground game, or do we kind of revert back a little bit to what we've come to know in the past in modern NFL football, where we see the ball get aired out a little bit more?
So there's been a trend the last couple of years toward running the ball more. And I actually, in our SI NFL preview that is out on newsstand, shameless plug, but I wrote my preview piece in there for us was a feature on Sean McVay and his coaching tree, how he's affected the game and impacted the game. And I had a sidebar in there, and it's all about literally how teams are starting to deviate from what we saw over the last decade. And I talked to Kevin O'Connell for it, and I talked to Shane Waldron, the assistant head coach with the Jaguars. And I've talked to many other coaches off the record. I talked to Lou Anarumo on the record for the story. And here's the general consensus. Look, defenses adjusted to this influx, this massive increase in passing, by getting smaller and faster. They got smaller up front. They got faster on the second level. They got these guys who can run and cover in space as linebackers. And up front, you know, we all grew up, man, I'm 38, we all grew up with guys who were like, you know, 280-pound defensive ends, right? Like the Reggie Whites of the world, Bruce Smith, big guys. Their defensive ends now are like 240 pounds. And so smart coaches have looked at this and said, okay, well, the defensive lines keep getting smaller. The offensive lines keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Guys are 330, 335. But why don't we just run it at them? And that's why you're seeing more under center, because it's more beneficial to the run game. Running backs prefer to get that head start. They don't. A lot of them don't like running out of gun. Kenneth Walker's a guy who, if you look at his numbers, the splits are pretty vast. I think we're starting to see, too, this Y tight end, this inline blocking tight end. That's a position that was drafted heavily in the second and third rounds, because teams feel like if they're putting two and three tight ends on the field, they're giving you a look that you have to kind of play the run. You've got to get more into your base defense. And yet you can still throw out of that if you have some guys who are at least somewhat adept at catching the ball. You have to respect it. And so it puts these teams in a bind. The Rams did that last year. The Rams played three tight ends 30% of the time last year. Nobody else played more than 15%. I expect to see those numbers go up quite a bit. I do think the trend is going to continue to be get under center, run the ball, play action off of that. Teams want to open up shot plays down the field that way. And I do think the Chiefs are on trend in that regard with a guy like Walker. We've seen him a lot more under center in camp. They want to play that way because it's forcing these defenses to be a little more honest. I think in past years, they've started to cheat toward the pass, and now offenses are trying to punish them for it.
Last one for you before we let you go. Matt Verderam joining us here on 96.5 The Fan. We saw in the last week or so Aaron Donald worked out once again at the Rams facility. What are you hearing out there when it comes to the real chances of him joining them at some point during the season?
I think people on the whole, if you took a straw poll of 50 people, you'd probably get 30 of them say, yeah, I think he's going to play. I think he's going to come back. My expectation would be, even if he does come back, it's going to be on a limited basis. I don't think all of a sudden he's jumping in there and playing 90% of the snaps.
Sure.
I think it would be more of a, hey, man, we're going to pick our spots. We're going to have you rush the passer. It's a hard thing to gauge how much this is really going to matter, even if he does come back. And he hasn't played 2 years. He's 35 years old. I know he's Aaron Donald. I know he's amazing. But, you know, I mean, the human body is the human body. In the last couple of years, he was starting to feel it a little bit. I do think it's a better chance than not that he comes back and plays. I also think it's a better chance than not that he's kind of a pick our spot type of guy, more than just a, hey, we're going to trot him out there for 50 snaps a game.
Matt Verderam, Sports Illustrated. Be sure to check out Matt on X as well. Appreciate it as always, man. Enjoy the weekend.
Hey, thanks a lot. Take care.